Thank you.
All right, take your Bible, if you have one, to Ephesians 5 again. And we're going to go to verse 18 and read a few verses here in Ephesians 5. All right, give you just a moment to find that. Man, it's been a blessing to be with you guys. Thank you so much for Pastor inviting me. And it's such an honor to do what we do and to get to serve the church by serving couples at these retreats. Normally, I preach revivals, and most of the time, we're doing a week-long revival. So these are kind of a treat for us as well to be able to do the couples retreats, and we do increasingly more and more of those. But our first love is still revival and evangelism. That's what we really live for. But it's a real privilege to get to serve you in this way as well. And I love what we do. I love studying on the home, the family. I read a ton of books on being the men we ought to be and having the home we ought to have. And it's always a work in progress. And I'm telling you, if you'll work at it and grow in the Lord, it's amazing. There's a ton of help out there in our generation. There's really no excuse for me and you to fail because there's so much help. There's sermons online. There's books to read. There's pamphlets to read. There's blogs to follow. I just am so thankful we live in this generation. And even social media. I'm always looking for, you know, we like to laugh in our family, so we're always looking. My kids will send me things, and someone sent me yesterday this is how not to help your wife. This guy is in this conversation. His wife says, "Honey, I have a bag of clothes here for you to drop off at the thrift store. I have a basket of clothes for the thrift store." And he says, "Oh, honey, just throw it away. Nobody wants our old clothes." And she said, "Honey, there are starving people around the world." He said, "Sweetheart, if they can wear your clothes, they are not starving." They said he should get out of the hospital in a few days. And you know, I want to talk to you in this session. I talked to you yesterday about spiritual leadership. And I want to talk to you in this session about being a Spirit-filled husband. About being a Spirit-filled husband. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 5, verse 18, that we're not to be drunk with wine when it's excess, but we are to be filled with the Spirit. Now, we don't emphasize that perhaps as often as we should. When I do our family revivals, many times I'll do a series in Ephesians where I take Sunday, I try to do four messages on Sunday from Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, where I lay out what in the world does a happy Christian marriage or a happy Christian home even look like? And I lay out 5, 10, sometimes 10, 11, 12 points. But if you go through Ephesians 4, you'll find out it looks like this. It's a place of honesty. He says we're to speak truth one with another. It's a place without anger. He says, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Yeah, we get angry, but you better not sin. No excuse for a man to be angry. One guy said to me, "Oh, don't make such a big deal about angry, Brother Young. Even Jesus got angry." I said to him, "Yeah, but you ain't Jesus." There's a big difference in that, isn't there? The Bible says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Your anger will never help your marriage. I've had a dad say to me, "Well, if I didn't get mad, I'd never discipline my kids." And I said, "I don't mean this to be mean, but if the only time you discipline your kids is when you're mad, then you're not disciplining your kids. You're just an angry dad." So the Bible tells us we're to be, it's a place of honesty and a place without anger. It's a place of edification. It's a place where there's no issues like bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking. It's a place of kindness and forgiveness. It's a place of love and purity. No fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, evil speaking. That'll also be put away from us. That's not how Christians live. It's a place of thankfulness and the list goes on and on. But you know, the fact is that not one of us men have the ability to do any of that on our own. Not at all. There's not one of you that'll go to Bible college and get enough Christian education to help you be the man you ought to be. You can't do it. It's not possible. Nobody's ever done it. You won't be the first. And I don't care how far you go along. You may have been saved for years, but you still can't do it on your own. But one of the greatest things about being a Christian is that the day you got saved, the Spirit of God moved into your life to empower you and enable you to be the man you ought to be. And you know, you can come to a conference like this and you can learn all kinds of how-to steps, but knowing all the how-to steps will not get the job done unless you allow the Spirit of God to fill you as a man and produce Christ-likeness in your life. Do you remember the story of the vine in John 15? Jesus said very clearly, without me, there's not much you can do. That's not what he said at all. Without me, you can do nothing. Now that you're a child of God, Jesus lives in your life. And being Spirit-filled is when you allow Jesus Christ in your life through the Word of God. Here's what the Spirit of God does in our life. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God. As I read it and memorize it and meditate on it, the Spirit of God moves out of my mind into my heart. And the heart in the Bible is a hard word to define. It's a hard word to nail down. It's like Jell-O because it's got so many sides and facets, it's hard to nail it down. But really, if you simplified it down, one author said the heart is the place where you dream, deliberate, desire, decide. You dream, you think about it, deliberate, you have desires, you make decisions. That's your heart. The heart is the mind, the will, the emotions. You know what's wrong with a man who's got an anger problem? He's got an emotional problem. But the Spirit of God in my life can take the Word of God and help my emotions to be controlled by Jesus. So that my emotions literally, Jesus said, didn't he? I am the vine, ye are the what? Okay, so Jesus lives in my life to live through my life. Now that I'm a child of God, the Spirit of God comes into my life. I'm indwelt by the Spirit of God and I'm to be filled with the Spirit of God so that the Spirit of God can take Jesus who lives inside of me and empower me to live Jesus in my life. So that when I speak to my wife, it's the voice of Jesus. When I'm responding to my wife, I respond like Jesus would respond. When I'm irritated, I'm controlled because Jesus is living in my life. I want to talk to you about being a Spirit-filled husband. Because notice, you ever wonder why this is interesting? He talks about honesty and anger and not stealing and not giving place to the devil and no corrupt communication and grieving not the Spirit of God and no bitterness or wrath or anger or clamor or evil speaking and being kind and being forgiven and walking in love and no fornication or uncleanness or covetousness and on and on and on and on and on and on. And then he says, and be filled with the Spirit. And right after that he says, husbands, love your wives because you're the head of your wife. Notice before he got to the point about husbands love your wives, he said you better be Spirit-filled because you can't do it on your own. In my notes, I wrote it like this. A Spirit-filled husband recognizes that he cannot be a Christ-like husband without divine help. A Spirit-filled husband recognizes I can't be Christ-like to my wife without divine help. I'm a man just like you are. I'll get irritated and bite in my words. Respond. Reaction. But not if I'm Spirit-filled. A Spirit-filled man is never bothered. A Spirit-filled man is not irritated. A Spirit-filled man doesn't wake up grouchy. A Spirit-filled man has love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and meekness and faith and temperance. A Spirit-filled man is honest. A Spirit-filled man is not dishonest ever. You know, before a man, I always wonder, why did God put honesty as the first issue he discusses in Ephesians when he starts talking about living the Christian life? And there's no doubt, if you're going to preach on the home and marriage, you got to go to Ephesians 5 sometime, because that's the number one New Testament passages on marriage and family. So why did he start with honesty? And you know why? Because before a man ever commits adultery, he's a dishonest man. He's dishonest. He's lying to his wife about who he's texting. He's lying to his boss about where he's going. He's lying to his wife about who he was with. He's covering his tracks. He's dishonest. And you mark this down. If you're a man in this room and there's dishonesty in your life, you are in big trouble. Because that's where all the other sins are going to spill out of. If you're Facebooking somebody you used to know back in high school days, some woman, and you're covering it so your wife doesn't know, you got to change your passcode and clear your history. You're dishonest. That's not spirit-filling. It's the beginning of it all. I got to recognize, God, I can't do it on my own. The order, I got to love my wife. I can't do that on my own. I've got to be gentle like Jesus is gentle. I can't do that. I always got to be sweet. I can't do it. Spirit-filled man recognizes that. A spirit-filled husband depends on the Holy Spirit to help him love like Jesus. It's got to depend on the Spirit to love like Jesus. A spirit-filled husband looks to the Holy Spirit to lead him to understand his wife. Have you read that passage recently in 1 Peter? Have you read that in 1 Peter chapter 3? It's just one verse, but it's a brutal one verse. Because the Bible says very simply, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them, your wife, according to knowledge. You ever heard a man say this? Ain't no man can understand a woman. Have you ever heard that? It's not an option if you're a Christian. Because you're commanded to understand her. I was at Barnes & Noble several years ago, and I saw this big book. They had this section of 75% off books. Big pile of books on this table, and I was going through the books waiting on my family. They love books, and they're all wandering through, you know, getting books and all. So I'm just waiting. I'm ready to go, but I'm looking over, and I saw this book. It was like this thick, and it was titled on the outside, and it really caught my attention. Everything Men Know About Women. It was that thick. I thought, man, that's worth the $3. Picked it up. Every page in it was blank. And I thought, no, that book, I could write that book right there. Somebody put a lot of time into that one, didn't they? But here's what the Bible commands us. I need to love my wife and lead my wife and understand my wife. Now you tell me, gentlemen, how are you doing with that one? For crying out loud, the love alone is hard, isn't it? And leading, helping her to become Christ-like. We men get irritated at our spouse. Oh, my word, she's so ridiculously emotional. You're to understand that and help her to overcome that and be like Jesus herself. There's no way. But the answer is being spirit-filled. You got God in your life, don't you? You need to ask the Lord to spirit-fill you. Lord, I want to be spirit-filled so I can help my wife and be the husband I ought to be. I can't understand my wife. She's complicated. Crazily complicated. But I'm commanded to. So there's a couple of things I want to show you. The Spirit will help you to see that your wife is different. The Spirit will help you to see that your wife is different. How many of you agree that men and women are different? She's not you, is she? She's completely different. She's just completely different. And that is the problem in a nutshell. The Spirit of God will show you that she's different. Somewhere along the way, somebody gave me a list of seven ways men and women are different. And here's number one. Number one, he's a man, she's a woman. That's good right there. It's a good start. It's a good start. Number two, he prioritizes the sexual relationship while she prioritizes affection, communication, and understanding. That's a big difference. One guy said it like this. Men are like microwaves. Instant. Women are more like a crock pot. Takes 3 days. And there's some truth. If you don't understand that, it's going to hurt your marriage. Because some of you guys wonder why your wife is not available to you. You haven't spoken to her all day till it's time to go to bed. It's not going to work. We need the Spirit of God to help us to overcome these issues. He thinks she should prioritize the sexual relationship. She thinks he ought to prioritize affection, communication, and understanding. The Spirit of God will help you to see she's different. He banishes problems by not bringing them up. She forgets problems by talking about them. Is that right? I'm giving it up. I'm not talking about it. We got a problem. We'll ignore it. It'll go away. It cannot go away in her life till she talks about it. Until she unloads on you as to why we have a problem. You better understand that. He believes it's important not to talk. She believes it's very important to talk. That's why more men hunt than do women. That's the truth. Women rarely hunt. And the reason being is because hunting requires silence. It's the truth. Women don't like to go sit in a deer stand and not talk. More women are hunting today than ever before because they can text. You can sit in a deer stand and Facebook. In the old days, you just had to sit there for 6 hours. That's why men did it. Because men can do that. God didn't design wives to do that. They're not made that way. God designed them differently. Take your wife hunting. You will kill nothing. Number six, he believes a solution. This is a big one. Difference. The Spirit of God has to help us to see she's different. He believes a solution makes everybody feel better. She feels better if he will listen and not give a solution. Does that ever cause a problem in your marriage? She tells you what's wrong. And you say, honey, this will take care of that. And now she is mad at you. And you don't know why. Am I right? It's, you know, there's that nail. That's true. Number seven, he thrives on appreciation, reverence. But your wife thrives on communication, affection, and understanding or love. Now, here's the deal. I point these out. The Spirit of God has to help us to see that our wife is different. And you know what many men do? They know that. Of course she's different, for crying out loud. But you know what happens? The Spirit of God doesn't want you to be angry about her difference. He wants you to embrace it. He wants you to embrace it. He made her that way. So your wife is emotional once a month. She has her monthly cycle. And men get bothered about it. Oh, my word. One guy said to me, you know the difference in a Doberman pincher and a woman with PMS? The lipstick. Okay, so see, we men joke about it. We're all like, ha ha, isn't that funny right there, man? We're joking about it. But don't respond unwisely, because God made her that way. God made her that way. And you men need to know, that unless the Spirit of God helps you to embrace her difference, you'll never survive the way God wants you to in a marriage. Couples can get along and never understand these. But God doesn't want you just to survive. He wants your marriage to thrive. So you got to be a Spirit-filled husband and say, Lord, yes, my wife is more emotional than I am. Help me to embrace that. Help me to embrace it. Find it endearing. It's an opportunity for you to love your wife when she's having an emotional time of her month. She's different than you. Embrace that. Let the Spirit of God fill you and help you to know how to help her, how to encourage her, how to touch her in a non-sexual way, because that's important to her. We joke about that in our marriage, because I teach about it quite frequently. And so every so often I'll give my wife a hug and I'll say, just so you know, this is a non-sexual hug. And we do that a lot. This is a non-sexual kiss, and we make it good, like some of the ones we had over there this morning. The point simply being, have you ever thought of your responsibility as needing the Spirit's help? God, fill me with the Spirit. I don't know how to love my wife and help her to become everything Jesus wants her to be. Spirit of God, you got to help me. Lead me, guide me, help me. Help me to understand her. Help me to see how you made my wife, and help me to embrace it. Yeah, she loves to shop, and help me to embrace it. She loves it when we have a fancy meal at home and there's candles on the table and we're using real napkins. Guys don't use real napkins unless it's our sleeve. But my wife, that's important to her. I even caught my boys the other day. My boys were like, oh, my word, we got to use real napkins again. Whoa, whoa. It's important to your mom, buddy. You put that napkin on that table and you're going to, we even stand at the table. My boys stand. When my wife comes to the table, stand. We stand. I get her seat. In our house. Boys, you stand up. It's your mom. And our family, we joke and laugh. And my boys always, stand for their mom. It's respect. She's my wife. That's your mom. You don't backtalk your mom. I'll hit you so hard your grandkids will have headaches. Knock you in the middle of next week. We'll catch up. The point is you gotta help your wife. You're on her side. Don't let the way God made her become a problem in your marriage. Ask the Spirit of God to fill you so you can understand that she is different than you. You don't expect her to be like you. She doesn't think like you. Even in the bed, like I talked about last night in regards to the bed, a lot of men struggle because they think their wife ought to be like them. She's not like you. If you've not talked to her all day or prayed with her or loved on her or told her how beautiful she was at 9 a.m., don't expect her to be interested in you at 9 p.m. And see, we men don't get that. We can't do it on our own. She's so complicated. There's not a man in this room brilliant enough to understand a woman. But there is a God in heaven who made her. And by the way, you treat her carefully because, you know, we love this statement in our churches. We are the sons of God. You want to know something? She's a daughter of God. So God is not only, I'm going to say this reverently, God's not only my father, he's also my father-in-law. Because I am married to his daughter. And being a dad with a daughter about to get married, that's a big deal to me. I'm the nicest guy in the world, but I would kill you in the name of Jesus over my daughter. Now, I'm being a little silly here, but I'm also serious. Y'all, you men understand that, don't you? It's my daughter. You better treat her well. You better treat her well. By the way, the five questions, I've had so many men. What are the five questions? How many men want to know the five questions? What are the five questions you ask your daughter? Your daughter's suitors, and here they are. Number one, these are no order necessarily, but do you have a pornography problem? Of course, that's a given in our day. Are you a virgin? Do you have debt, drugs, alcohol? Any of those in your life? How are you doing on those? And I have a hard time in this generation meeting any guy anywhere who can say, no problem with pornography. Never have. Never seen it. Never seen it. Clean. No problem at all. But David has never seen it. He's 23. Never seen pornography in my life. Hey, it's rare. So if he had, one young man wanted to date my daughter. Well, yeah, I got a pornography problem. When's the last time you saw it? Well, last week. I said, well, son, you can't date my daughter. But you can't overcome that. And if you can give me a year and let me mentor you and help you, if at the end of this year you are living in victory over pornography over a course of time, I'll reevaluate whether or not you can date my daughter. But you have to give me a year. And he wouldn't do it. Because he said, I can't. Now, later he came back. It's not an option to date my daughter. But he later came back and asked for help. And God can help anybody to win victory over sin. And the young man, as far as I know, is free. We still correspond occasionally. I don't mind mentoring guys to help them get off of that. But those are my five questions. Are you a virgin? It may not mean you can't date my daughter. I just want to know. He answered all of them correctly. That's a rare thing. But my point is, I'm concerned because that's my daughter he's marrying. And you mark this down in black. That wife of yours is a daughter of your God. He cares about her. That's why I need the Spirit to fill me so that I can lead my wife and understand her. She's different. Number two, she's delicate. He says in the 1 Peter passage, we give honor unto her as unto the weaker vessel. By the way, when are we shooting to end here? 10:20, okay. She's the weaker vessel, which means she's more needy. That's the idea of weaker vessel. She has greater needs than I do. That's why God put me in her life to help those needs. And she's also more valuable. She's weaker because she's more valuable. You know, the more valuable something is, often the more weaker it is. It's like fine china. Fine china is very different than Corel. One of them, you can throw it on the floor and it doesn't matter. Drop it, it doesn't matter. But you take that $100 place setting that you get out once every 20 years to eat a meal on, drop that thing on the ground, it will shatter in a million pieces. It's more valuable, it's weaker. And your wife is more fragile. The Spirit of God can help you to understand that and minister to her and lead her. She's detailed more than you are. You got to understand, she's different, she's delicate, she's detailed. It takes her 30 minutes to explain a 5-minute conversation. That's how God made her. I can talk to my wife or my mom 30 minutes on the phone. I can talk to my mom for 30 minutes, hang up the phone, and my wife will say every time, what'd she say? It's the most confusing question. It always catches me off guard. I mean, I know it always catches me because I'm like, she said they were fine. I really have to work it. And I'll remember later, and I'll be like 3 days later, oh, you know, mom said the test for dad came back, and here's what happened. See, my wife's not that way at all. She can have a 5-minute conversation with her mom and take 30 minutes to tell me about it. Because to her, it's all connected to emotions and feelings. And she can go out to eat with her moms. They can sit at a table with perfect strangers all around them. And she can come home and tell me everything they said at that table. She can tell me things people were talking about beside her. People she doesn't even know. I'm not that way at all. I come home and I'm like, I don't even know what I had to eat, but it was good. And see, here's what a lot of couples do. A lot of men start ridiculing their wives. Oh, my word, she talks up a storm. My daddy, God bless my parents, they're country people. Dad doesn't have a high school education. They don't have a lot. They're content as the day is long. Tiny little house, one bathroom. Content. I mean, nothing bothers them. My dad's a hard worker, daylight to dark. He's in his 70s, still works, cuts trees, climbs trees, cuts the tops out of them. The man's just, he can do anything. He can deliver, the people call him. They don't call the vet, they call my dad. You come over here and help deliver this calf, and my dad will soap up his arm and pull calves out. And the man is an amazing man. I'm just telling you, he's just amazing. He and my mom are so in love. They start every morning drinking coffee on the porch. And I used to say they talked, but I don't say that anymore. He listens. She just talks up a storm. He says things like this. They. Well. That's it. That's about all he ever says. They. Well. And they're madly in love. He understands my mom. He understands. He's never been to Bible college. My dad's learned how to let the Spirit of God help him to be a sweet, loving, gentle, gracious husband. It's been a long time coming. He had to grow into it. God's working on him. He's becoming the sweet, Christ-like husband God wants all of us to be. You got to understand your wife. She is detailed. She wants you to understand how she feels. Where there's an issue, she wants you to be sorry that you made her feel that way and to let her know that you love her with all your heart, and she wants you to ask forgiveness for how you made her feel. You didn't necessarily do anything wrong. You just made her feel badly. And some men are like, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not apologizing. Yeah, but you're Spirit-filled, and if you're Spirit-filled, the Spirit of God will help you to realize her perception of this problem is valid. Yeah, she may be wrong because you didn't mean what she thinks you meant. But if you'll let the Spirit of God fill you, the Spirit of God will help you to know how to respond to her. And all of us men need it. How long has it been since you had an issue with your wife and you did this? In your heart, as you're listening, you said, Spirit of God, help me to know what to say. Are you not indwelt by the Spirit? Don't you think He knows? We men never rely on the Spirit for help in our marriages. You know, how about your purity? Men, one of the massive, I almost spoke on purity this morning. I almost did. And it needs to be spoken on, doesn't it? Some of you men battle your thought life because you're not Spirit-filled. You're not Spirit-filled. When's the last time you saw a billboard with a half-naked woman on it and asked the Spirit of God to give you His purity? Lord, I'm going to fail if you don't give me your... My purity's not good enough. My purity won't cut it. I can't do it on my own. I need your purity. Spirit of God, help me. You rely on the Spirit. Being Spirit-filled means you look to the Spirit for wisdom. You look for the Spirit to help you when you don't know what to do. You look for the Spirit for His power in your life to give you what He has. He has all the purity you need to defeat the garbage of pornography in this generation. Every man can have victory, but not on your own. You are not man enough, strong enough, spiritual enough, smart enough to overcome the garbage of this world. But you have the Spirit of God in your life, and He is. Ask Him to fill you. Ask Him to lead you. Ask Him to help you. Say to the Spirit of God, I can't. Help. And it may not be instantly. We men in our generation, we want everything instant. We want it right now. The Spirit of God doesn't work that way. One guy called me the other day, and he's been battling pornography, and he's tired of battling it, and I've been trying to help him, and he's not getting help because he wants a miracle. He wants to be free right now. He's been fasting and praying for a miracle. And I said, pal, I know God can do a miracle, and I don't mean to you, don't mean to be mean to you at all. But can I tell you something? In God's word, he has told you the process you have to follow to have victory in your life. And you want to bypass the process and have something that God has told you how you could have if you would do the job in getting there. Why should God do a miracle when he's told you, get in my word, put accountability in your life, get garbage out of your life, be absolutely open and honest with your spouse, do whatever you have to do, throw away your phone if you have to, shoot your computer if you have to, change jobs if you have to, because your purity is worth it. See, you can't do that on your own, but there's a God in heaven who can fill you with his spirit and lead you and guide you and help you to have purity in your life. I was in Las Vegas, Nevada, preaching, driving to a prayer meeting, stopped. We were meeting at a restaurant in the banquet room at that restaurant, a group of men to have a morning prayer meeting. And I stopped at a traffic light right off the Las Vegas Boulevard where all the casinos are. And when I stopped at that red light, I was in a truck by myself with my Bible. I had a tie on. I was going to a Baptist church's men's prayer meeting on Saturday morning. And all of a sudden, on a 40-foot tall lit up billboard, one of those, you know, TV type screens. It's half naked ladies. And I mean by half naked, half is not the word. Almost nothing. I was startled. And I said in that truck, Spirit of God, please give me your purity. I need your purity right now. I can't handle this. I need your purity. And I'm serious. Instantly, the Spirit of God just prompted me. I reached up and pulled down the sin visor. Does your car have a sin visor? Pull down that sin visor. Can't see that billboard now. Can't see the traffic light either. But I figured when they stopped and he went, we were good to go. So I just watched the guy beside me. And when he took off, I followed him. But I drove through that intersection with a clean heart. Not because I'm such an amazing, powerful man of God, but because I have the Spirit of God in my life, and when I look to him, he can help me. Man, if you're going to be the husband you ought to be, you got to be Spirit-filled. God wants you to understand her and lead her and love her, to be Christ to her. That means you respond gently. You can't do that on your own. Means no matter what she's going through, you're still loving. Doesn't matter what situation you're in your life, we're in the midlife stage, like some of you. It's a new stage in our life. I got kids getting married. That's a new stage. My wife's going through menopause. That's a new stage. This is new to us. Well, I don't know how to handle this, but I can go to the Spirit of God and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Help me know how to lead my wife at this time when physically she's struggling. She doesn't feel well. She hurts. Just some medical issues we're doing. Lord, I don't know how to do this. I'm in a seminary. I get introduced as Dr. Dave Young. None of that matters. None of that matters. The only thing I've found that works is I go to God's word. Amen. And I get on my knees and I cry out to the Spirit of God to fill me so that in every situation I respond like Jesus would. I say the words Jesus would say. I follow him. And the more I follow him, gentlemen, the more my marriage is amazing. Because the Spirit of God knows the answer to every need you and I have. You've got to be Spirit-filled. Ask for it. Get the Word of God and start memorizing it, meditating on it. And let the Spirit of God take the Word of God and pull it out of your mind into your heart and life so that all of your emotions are controlled by the Spirit's leading through the Word of God. And all of your decisions are controlled by the Spirit's leading through the Word of God. All of your responses, all of your touches, every step you make, every direction you take, are controlled by His leadership. That's being a Spirit-filled husband. It's that simple. I wish I could give you something deeper. 10 steps on how to make it happen. I don't know the steps for your situation. Your wife's not my wife. Your wife's different than my wife. Her background, her family. But the Spirit of God knows, and He wants to help you. All right, let's take a break. And if I can pray with you or help you in any way, I'd be glad to do it. May the Lord fill all of us. Take just a moment. Bow your head, would you? Ask the Spirit of God to fill you. You're His child. Ask the Spirit of God to give you wisdom, purity, direction. Ask the Spirit of God to help you to go home and every response be His. Ask Him. And Father, I pray that'll be so. Lord, we need a few moments break here, and I pray You'll bless these remaining moments in this final session. Give us a good day. Help our love for You and our spouse to increase exponentially because of what You're doing in our heart and life. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.